of the Christian testimony, that is, that our Lord Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He became human, just like you and I. And as we look at the cup, remind us that he came to give his life as a sacrifice, take away our sin. Not only to take away our sin, but to provide the solution for the problems that man has faced and will face. And so we come to focus our attention to this very simple presentation that our Lord Jesus Christ had come in the flesh and has died. And the term that's used by Daniel in the book of that he wrote is that our Lord Jesus was cut off. Literally cut off mean death. Cut off mean we move from that part of the history. But we come to provide a witness for that truth, that Christ came. And I believe that to be the centrality of the Christian message. Had before he died on the cross, disciple, and he tells us to remember one thing, that he came and he gave his life. He was the Lamb of God. And so in spite of how Christianity in this past 2,000 years have constructed stories, custom, in elevating the Christian message used by politician, political leader like Constantine, who was able to wrestle the power from the pagan world and use the message to expand his empire. A very wise move that he include practices of pagans. A lot of them from the northern part of the European continent. That's where we get our Christmas tree and the practice of Easter. And so many Christians follow those so-called historically, culturally constructed. And I believe we should. It's very meaningful because it reminds us of the story, you know, Jesus Christ coming as a child. But sometimes those messages get sort of manipulated by the Macy's, you know, by the Google, by by gifts. But that doesn't negate the fact that those messages remind us and the world. And so it was delightful to come to your church congregation to find evidence of Christmas. That's the only one I found. No light, no Christmas tree, no kind of gory detail. So we focus on the essence of the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many practices. I read that on television. Tomorrow, in the city of New York, it's going to be piled up with these discarded Christmas tree, remnants of this holiday, because they have to collect. So everyone throw out their Christmas tree tomorrow. It's going to be recycled. You don't want to leave it around your house, get caught on fire. But on, if you go up to East Harlem, particularly the Spanish Harlem, it will be a great parade whereby the Latino community, who are mainly Catholics, follow the tradition of the three kings, the Tres Reyes. There will be parade. There will be funny-looking sort of caricature of these three kings dressed up in garbs and kind of paraded to tell a story, to exchange gifts. So for many, Christmas continue. They believe that these are the three kings that came to visit our Lord, bearing gifts. Other tradition would say that on Tuesday will be the day where Jesus was baptized, or when Jesus was performing a miracle in Canaan, turning water into wine. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on in this sort of 2,000 years of taking a simple gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that he told us. He didn't tell us to remember his birthday. Don't forget my birthday. You know, I was born. Don't forget. We kind of deduct that from this essence of gifts. He doesn't tell us to celebrate that the day that he was crucified on a cross, like Easter, that was used by these other tradition. He tells us to remember him. Yet there's these three stories, these stories of these individuals that come from the East, whether you know them as the three kings or the three wise men, or in Chinese, if you look at the Chinese Bible, it says bo si, meaning those who are PhD. You know, so literal translation are three PhD from the East who come. So they call, I don't know why they translate bo si, you know. They come with gifts. But I want to visit that story of the three individuals that come from the East. The only account of them coming for this long journey is recorded in the book of Matthew. So if you want to turn to you don't have Bible text anymore, right? You got to turn to we will be looking at a book of Matthew very briefly. I'm going to go into every text. And I want to also give you the idea of my thought. Where did they come from? Who are these three guys? Could they be more than three guys, mostly men, right? Do they have a PhD from the University of Iran? Or who are these guys? You know, are they wise guys? You know, smart Alex. Are they kings that comes? Why did they come? What was the journey all about? Where were these people? How were they constructed, their identity? Who are they? How did they wind up in a very obscure passage in Matthew chapter 2? The only time where it occurred. There's no explanation of these guys are coming, these kings are coming, or the very intelligent people are coming. After they came, they visited Jesus very simply. They bought gifts, three type of gifts. People have given a lot of meaning behind each item. But right after that, in chapter 2, they disappear from history. There's no other occurrence of these individuals in the entire New Testament. Yet, many Christian traditions embellish these three individuals, elevate them into a certain kind of almost deity status, or at least royal status. So who are these people? Well, in the book of Matthew, God's word tells us that during times of Jesus' birth, in fact, he was already born. As we know, he was born in a manger. The first group of people that God revealed his son, the coming of his son, the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, is where the term Epiphany, again, Tuesday. If you go to some other Christian tradition, the idea of Epiphany is celebrated. Very important day. Essentially, Epiphany is the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. God himself coming in the person of Jesus as a child, like us, human flesh. And he was born in the time of the Jewish people when Rome were the occupier. They were the power. Both good and bad, they provide security. Security apparatus by the Roman. Allow the Jews to thrive in the commerce. So those Jews who were able to somehow cahoot with the Roman Empire, using their military might, somehow manipulating their commerce and religion, it was a great thing. The key individual who was able to amass that those power and manipulate for his own good was a guy named Herod. He was partly Jewish, partly Gentile. Herod was a great king in many aspects. He was able to use the empire of the Rome to construct buildings, launch into the greatest construction of the temple. Unfortunately, he was not the person that was chosen by God to rebuild the temple. He amassed great budget. And so while Jesus was born, King Herod was the guy who was enthroned. And so these three wise persons came to Jerusalem looking for this coming of a king of the Jews. The scripture tells us these individuals are called magi. So in the original construction of that term, M-A-G-I, what does that remind you? Well, magician? Some mysterious individual. Someone who's able to present interesting phenomenon. But to simplify that idea is that they come from the east. Why did they come? What part of the east? Did they just saw some star and follow the star? Is that that simple? These guys one day look out into, you know, the night sky and saw a bright star and they follow. I'm not sure it's that simple, that they just follow some star. They came to Jerusalem looking for this king of the Jews. And the story tells us in Matthew that Herod kind of said, okay, yeah, I'd like to visit that Jewish king too, but in fact he was very concerned because his power might have been threatened. Herod's getting older, you know, he's aging, it's been a tough reign, and so he was threatened by a new coming king. And he was very concerned, so he called his entourage of advisor. So Herod, being a Jew, having people around him, like his cabinet of advisor, counselor, they were priests that represent the Jewish faith. And also they were teachers. These are people who study the sacred texts, who knew, you know, all the passages, who was able to spend a lot of time looking at texts and try to apply texts, sacred texts, to the current condition, the current human condition, the current world condition. And so Herod asked these folks, what is this about, this Jewish king? And they said, King Herod, it's already been written in the Old Testament that in a place, a very obscure place called Bethlehem, this king is where he's born. And so Herod learned about it from wise people around him. And so he told the wise men, look, when you find this new king that was born, tell me. I want to also pay my tribute. And those three king or three wise individuals heard that story, and then they, based upon the counsel of the teacher of the Old Testament, and based upon the counsel of these advisor of the king, Herod, they found Jesus. They were on their way. They knew exactly where Jesus was born. They had some idea by the star, so they came from the east, a journey, probably a northern part of Persia, which is Iran. Most likely, they went through the old Silk Road, Central Asia. That's an area, if you're interested in geography and global politics, in the future, you need to be studying not only the Middle East, but Central Asia. It's a new way of looking at the world. And so the Persian came and visit, and they bought gifts to Jesus Christ. And then he left. So you say, Pastor Lee, what's the point? Well, the theme that I want to share with you is that those who are wise Wisdom comes from knowing God, as well as studying in the finest elite institution in this world. Both. You embellish the wisdom of God by studying hard, by getting your best grade that you can, by striving. Wisdom comes from God. Both. It helps. But primary, wisdom comes from seeking the Lord. Through your prayer, through understanding His words, and it's also through vision. Vision is when you close your eyes, when you sort of like shut your visual distraction, and when you begin to think about your life, when you begin to look at the news around you, when you begin to travel the world, and you close your eye, and then you have the Word of God that you have been learning, the truth from the Scripture, and you somehow integrate those Word of God and what goes around you, you will come up with a certain kind of wisdom that only comes from God, from you observing the world. Be the best student that you possibly can of humanity and history. And that would enlighten you. What happened is that your mind will be open. And the Scripture said these are revelation, these are inspiration. You will see what? Light. And so the idea of the birth of Christ in a dark world with the star, light. Jesus said, I am what? The light of the world. I come among darkness. And so has Christians who are called by God to give testimony is to provide light that illuminate darkness, that allow you to see the glimpses of this world, and allow to see your experience as an Asian American, Chinese American, here in Elmhurst, going to high school, maybe graduating from college, working in the world. How do you integrate this world experience with God's word in the spiritual experience that you've been developing here in Christian Testimony? How do you do that? Well, you get vision. You close your eye. You think about God's word. You look at the world. You read paper. You get information. You integrate that, and you come out with what? Solution. Both for your own personal life. Maybe even in this neighborhood of Elmhurst with a great flux of immigrants, diversity. Or maybe in the office. You go to work Monday. Some problem comes up. You, because of God's wisdom in your mind is open to come up with some solution. Now, maybe some human problem with your family. Maybe you don't get along with somebody, your relative, or maybe at work. Closing your eye, having God's word, working in your mind, connecting you with all that you have learned, boom, you come up with enlightenment, light. I don't know if you ever see this cartoon. Now, Betty Boop is a controversial cartoon character. Anybody ever see Betty Boop? Right, it was a little kind of adult stuff. But when I was a kid in Hong Kong, I used to watch Betty Boop. I didn't understand it. But there was this old man, right, this old professor. I'm going to show it one time. So he's got this ingenuity, right? So there's a problem that people encounter. So I said, let me go put on my thinking cap. So he's got this cap, like he was a PhD, right? PhD, you get a cap. So he puts on the cap, but the cap on top has this light bulb. So you go, you got to watch that. And then the light bulb goes, blink, blink, blink. Yeah, no. Blink, blink, blink. And then suddenly, this light bulb, flashes. He starts jumping up. And the cartoon tells him he's inventing some amazing stuff, right? I mean, that's from the 30s. It's quite interesting. This idea of putting a thinking cap on, right? Thinking about your problem, using the resource that you have accumulated, for all these education, elementary school, you know, high school. And then knowing the Word of God, that thinking cap goes blink, 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 blink. Okay? It lights up. And that's what happened to these three individuals. Could be five. They were wise men. They came from the east, a long journey at that time. They came, they were the second group of people that when the Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, was born on earth, the first group that found out about it were what? Shepherds, right? They were not looking for the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone in Jerusalem was blind, never put on their thinking cap, right? Even who knew about this prophecy didn't get it. The light never what? Went on. You know, do you have a cap? Has light ever sort of went on in your head? Have you ever come up with a solution to your problem and it stopped blinking? That is the picture of these three individuals who came from the east, that when they saw the birth of Christ, they were delighted. They guessed right. Educated guess. Didn't know about it. By faith they came. Travel. They bought expensive gift, gold, all that stuff, journey. What if when they went to Jerusalem, was nobody was born? Well, they wasn't sure. They didn't know. But they had an inkling, this idea of a flashing of light in your mind. Brother and sister, you will be led in your life by many things. How are you led? What drive you? What motivate you? Is it the degree? Is it money? Is it a certain kind of, you know, utopia? What drive you to travel a long distance? What are you looking for? These guys were motivated by this light. And they wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ. They traveled a long distance. They invested of their wealth. They went. They paid for the trip. And they found our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who are these guys? Well, 600 years ago, before our Lord was born, there's a group of teenagers who were Jewish. The nation was corrupt. Bad leaders. The kings were corrupt. They were out for themselves. In fact, instead of worshiping the living God, they brought in idols and they stuffed these idols into the temple. And how God solved the problem was remove them from power. In fact, the nation was ransacked by the Babylonian. Babylonian is where Iraq. Remember Saddam Hussein? Nebuchadnezzar is a kind. Saddam Hussein wanted to be what? His hero was Nebuchadnezzar. Right? Many 2016 years ago. Before he was dethroned, he built these architectural palaces that, instead of looking at what the American, you know, design, he went back 2,000 years ago. He dug up plans from the great time when Babylonian Empire ruled. He replicated a 2,000-year-old empire. What a nut, right? That was him. So 600 years before Jesus was born, God used a Babylonian to come into Israel and destroy Israel. But what the Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, was actually doing in his empire when he conquered people, he was looking at the smartest people in that conquered region. Why? Because Babylonian king was always fighting. He didn't have time to think. But he knows that if he's going to continue in power, if he is going to expand the empire, he needs smart people. He needed advisors. And so he looked for smart kids. No blemish. Very good student. Give them a book. They go right through it. Right? You can lock them up and they serve the internet. They come up with all kind of stuff for you. And so Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has this entourage of smart people around him for advice. And they saw, this group of teenagers from Israel, southern part of the kingdom. They took them. They didn't kill them. They didn't chop their head off. If you look dumb, your head would come off, right? So act, you know, don't fall asleep in class, right? Right? Be alert, right? I mean, don't kind of doze off, right? You get... So when they were conquered, they looked for the smartest group of teenager, and they brought them to Babylon, and they gave them education. The Jews were somewhat backward culturally and historically. They were not the world empire that day. Babylon was the world empire. It's very interesting how God used world empire to cultivate his people. Remember Joseph? Right? Moses? Because they were like nomad. The Jews were in fact Middle Eastern nomad. They ran around in tents, right? And God used the Egyptian empire to cultivate his people. Joseph, Moses. They need education. They need to know the world. They need to get a world-class education. And so Daniel and his friend got a world-class education. They taught him knowledge at that time. The most developed civilization. Best school. They learned how to read the text that was used by the Babylonian. Traditional knowledge that's taught. They fed them food. Rich food. Food offered to idol. And here's these young people made a stand. We're not going to defy ourselves. But before that, in chapter 2, here's why I want to go back to this idea that the king of Babylon had an entourage of advisors. And the scripture said these were the what? Wise men of Babylon. They were the wise men. With additional description, they were astrologists. Anybody into astronomy? Huh? Anybody has a telescope and look out in the sky at night? Nobody does that? Too bad, you know. I mean, when I was growing up, there was always one guy in the class, right? He's got this long telescope he got for Christmas. He's always looking at the star. Right? Well, the people who look at the star actually are those who predict the future. Right? Remember the comet? This comet was circling around, and then these smart people from Europe and American, they come up with this vehicle that what latch onto a comet, right? It goes down, and then why were they doing that? Well, they wanted to know what? The origin of universe, because many of these smart people think that the reason why we have water on Earth, you know, the Earth was like, you know, hot, right, molten, and then somehow became a bore. Water came from comets. These are icebergs that get tossed. Now, I don't know if you believe that, but Eric Dyson, the guy from the Museum of Natural History, you know, the planetarium, right? He believes in that. A lot of smart people believe in it. Maybe, you know, it's a theory of origin. And so there's a revival of sending people to Mars. Why? Because, anybody see that movie Interstellar? I didn't see it. But, you know, all this stuff, it's like smart people are looking into space, right? Looking at space, right? The Earth is going to get destroyed. We got to look for another planet to move, right? Okay. Anybody went to Cornell? Carl Sagan. Remember Carl Sagan? Right? Okay, he was a smart guy, right? Billions and billions of stuff in the universe. Astrologists, think about the future, right? They also have enchanters. Wise men are enchanters. They come up with special effect. They knew something about chemistry, right? So they mix some stuff and, you know, you got smoke. It's like today, I don't know, I went to see Lord of the Rings. No, I went to see, my wife and I went to see The Hobbit, the last one, okay? Some of us who are old-timer, I was very sad after I saw the last episode of Hobbit, because Hobbit and Lord of the Rings is written by a Christian writer, Tolkien. And embedded in those war stories are stories from the scripture about Christ as king and overcome evil. So we're watching that. It's long and you probably would fall asleep, but I was very sad after the last one. I sat there through all the, you know, I said, this is the end of the era, because all the other movies are not made like that anymore. They just blow up, the special effect. I'm sitting over there, right? Huge screen. Everything is special effects. These are enchanted. That's what these wise people did. They were able to access elementary scientific stuff. They were able to make gunpowder, you know, flashes. And they were able to, they were psychologists too, you know. They were able to read the mind of the king, right? They analyzed the king when he couldn't sleep, okay? They said, oh, the king, that's your problem. You're worrying about the other kingdom, or you're paranoid. So they were like pseudo-psychologists. So these wise men are exactly what we have today. President Obama, right, got his cabinet. He got this professor from MIT, right, advising him on the Obamacare. But the guy's a stupid fool, right? He got caught on tape criticizing how dumb the Americans are because they had to fool the American to get the pass, right? So these guys are very smart, they're very dumb at the same time. They're professors in your university. On one hand, they're intelligent people. On the other hand, they're stupid. Just like the entourage that was surrounding Nebuchadnezzar. These were the wise men of Babylon. And so the scripture tells us that one night, King Nebuchadnezzar couldn't sleep, right? He had a dream, a nightmare. Scary. How many of you ever had a nightmare? Scary, right? He woke up in a chill. So he called his wise men. He said, look, I had a nightmare. Can you tell me what happened? So the wise men said, King, look, before we could tell you what your dream is about, why don't you tell us what you dreamt? So the king goes, well, if you're so smart, you should be able to read my mind. I'm not going to tell you what I dreamt. You figure it out. Huh? So these wise men were not that wise. They start talking back to the king. Look, king, you're unreasonable. You know, how could we know what the dream is if you don't tell us? We can't read your mind. Wait a minute, I thought you could. So these guys were not smart because they didn't know how to carry on a conversation that would save their soul. So fellas, you know, brother and sister, be smart. When you're at a work situation, right, sometimes you got to bite your tongue. You don't want your job, you could tell your boss off. You could be very blatantly honest. So you have to develop a certain kind of wisdom in your talk, in your conversation, so that you don't offend people unnecessarily. Because, you know? So the king got so angry at this group of wise guys. Wise man became wise guy, right? You're telling me that I'm unreasonable? And so the king said, we're going to give you a time limit. If you don't figure out what I dreamt and what my dream meant, you're going to get executed. And here comes Daniel. Daniel and his friend were part of this wise man council. That's why they were there. These young men came from a broken home. They lost their parents. They lost their country. They're like alien in a foreign land. But they have a certain kind of wisdom. They learn to overcome their circumstances. They never make excuses because of their past, how bad things were. They were smart, wise. And then Daniel, with a wisdom, went to the guy who's in charge of executing this group of wise men, including them, because even though he didn't do anything. And he said to the leader, very nicely, could I have some more time? I could find out exactly what the king dreamt and then interpret what he dreamt. And how did Daniel receive this revelation? He went back, he prayed. He called his friend to pray. He didn't know exactly what the king dreamt, but through his prayer, God began to give him what? Revelation. The light bulb stopped blinking. Didn't know anything about the king's dream. Didn't know what he dreamt. Didn't know what he meant. The dream was about, if you go home and read it, it's about the king was falling asleep, and he couldn't sleep because he had this huge statue, monstrous-looking statue, standing in front of him, a threatening figure, right? Top of his head is this, middle of his chest is this, and then, you know, so he didn't know what, he was threatened by this monstrous statue that appeared at night. He was paranoid. And Daniel not only told the king what he dreamt, and he explained it to him. These are the various kingdoms. And because of that, King Nebuchadnezzar praised Daniel. Wow, where did you get this wisdom? Daniel said, I pray. I believe in the true God. And he showed me. He helped me to put one and two together. One and one together. In my process of prayer, God showed me, gave me understanding. Most of all, God gave me light. And as a result, God was glorified through Daniel, through his testimony in a working place, because he prayed. He seek God for wisdom. And as a result, God put Daniel in charge of what? The wise man. He became the what? Discipler. He taught. He helped his friend to hone up their skill. This was 600 years before Jesus was born. If you study the book of Daniel, it's a fascinating book. It's not just Daniel being fed to the lion. This book tells you about what happened to the people of Israel. This book tells you that Daniel knew about the coming of the Persian before the Persian ransacked Babylon. This book tells you that there will be a kingdom, the Greek Alexander, will come and conquer the Persian Empire. This book tells before, 600 years before, 400 years before the Roman Empire, that will come and control that part of the Mediterranean all the way to North Africa. But that's not the key. This book, in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 24 to 27, tells exactly when the Messiah will come, not of his birth. It predicted the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, will come in the time of the Roman, during the time of Herod. And 30 years later, he will be cut off. So the construction of when Christ was born didn't come from a revelation about his birth. It comes from the revelation about his death, being cut off on the cross. And they worked their way backward. And so these wise men, I believe, had their start with the person of Daniel, who knew God's words, who was trained in the knowledge of the Babylonian, who integrated the political events, and also who knew human heart, a tyrant, paranoia, who knew his co-worker needed his help. He had to stand up to save the net as well as his. Who knew how to organize this group of counselors. He was a chief of staff of the king's cabinet. I believe Daniel's testimony in Babylon that continued after the Babylonian Empire fell, when a Persian under Cyrus the Great took over the empire, became the Persian Empire. And Cyrus the Great was selected by God. The scripture in Isaiah said, Cyrus, a Persian king, was the shepherd that God has chosen to shepherd Israel back to the homeland. And Daniel became a major advisor. In fact, he was one of the leaders in the Persian Empire. He never went back home. Stay where you are. Daniel said, when am I going to go back home? God said, stay where you are. Do your job. God gave you a job to be the advisor or the chief of staff of the staff. Do your job. Continue to learn. Continue to be a witness, a testimony of God's grace in wherever you are. And I believe that because of Daniel's testimony, his concern for his co-workers, he have developed a small group of people, wise men, who knew about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were not kings. They were a declined power. In fact, the Persian was already conquered by the Romans. They had no power. They were not deity. They were individuals who was enlightened that Jesus has come. You and I are no different. We're regular people. Some of you might be smarter than others. You might get better grade, better job. But like Daniel and his peers, their wisdom comes from their knowledge of God's word. Their wisdom comes from their prayer. Their wisdom comes from integrating the Christian value, the Christian truth, with his everyday world. No matter how vast that world is or how small that is, God gave Daniel and those wise men who came wisdom. Wisdom to seek the Lord. Don't underestimate the fact that you and I are people. I don't know how I got to become a pastor. I don't remember how I was convinced to become a Christian. All my friends weren't. You know, I went to a church with a lot of friends of mine when I was in college. They all, you believe in that stuff? Goodbye. You know. So I don't know what that is, how God has opened up our eyes. And may the Lord continue to use you to shine in the coming year. May he integrate your experience, whatever you learn, for his glory in where you are. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for a new year, for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. He became just like us. As we celebrate his coming, physical manifestation, of his presence among us. As we partake of the bread that represents his body, came in the flesh. As we partake of the cup representing the precious blood that was shed for the cleansing of our sin. We give you thanks, Lord. May you shine through us in all the experience, in the workplace, most of all, in your congregation, that we may continue to serve you faithfully. Pray this in our Lord's name. Amen.